Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to read from Psalm chapter number 100, and I'll just tell you where I'm going and where I would like us to go today. Last week, we cried out to God to, you know, in expectation and said, you know, the clouds are the dust of his feet. It's like, did you see any clouds this week? Well, God's around. You know, he's just walking around heaven, and we feel the stirring of that. Before that, for 3 weeks in a row, we had Holy Ghost outpouring, and somebody got the Holy Ghost last week too, and you could receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit today. But I'll tell you our intention when we end, we're going to sing again. And the praise team is going to come to the platform, and we're just going to tell you, you just began worshiping Jesus. You're welcome to come and fill the altar if you feel like that. But I'm going to preach a sermon that lets us know what the value of singing is as far as God is concerned. And this is kind of in preparation for next week. Does anybody know what next week is? It's Palm Sunday.
Yes.
It's when they waved palm branches and said, Hosanna, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And the literal translation is, oh, look, see the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And so they were celebrating the one that came in the name of the Lord. They knew him, the common people, as the Messiah. And when they did worship him, he came into the temple and cleansed the temple and did miracles. Now the religious stuffies were afraid of him and hated that. And they didn't like it and said, tell him to shut up. And Jesus said, well, if they do, the rocks will cry out, because this date is an appointed date in history. And today, we're going to talk to you about singing, and we're going to end with singing. And so when we come next week, our plan is to observe the Lord's Supper, which is communion, which we drink a little grape juice and eat some unleavened bread, and we remember the body that was broken and the blood that was shed, and we begin to celebrate and rejoice what God has done for us. And that will be followed up by Easter. And then I have a series of sermons from Easter to Pentecost called From Easter to Pentecost, because there was a journey that happened between Easter and Pentecost, and an interaction for 40 days with the disciples of Jesus. And then we're going to end on Pentecost Sunday, June the 5th. And Brother Jesse and Sister Alexis Cornejo will be with us for two weekends. And he's a Holy Ghost preacher, and he's a guy that God has gifted with the gift of healing and of miracles. And we're going to have great expectation for that time, and a great way to start our summer. Psalm 100 in verse number 1, David says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You notice that? Come before his presence with singing. That's one of the first things we do when we come into the house of the Lord, is we come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Isn't he a good God? Isn't he a great God? Praise God. You may be seated. It has been said, music is the language of the soul. The melody of song did not originate on earth, but it's in heaven. It appears from scriptural reference that the guy that we call the devil now, or Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies, began his career in heaven as Lucifer, son of the morning, and was in charge of worship in all of heaven. The worship went to his head, and he saw the glory given to the Lord, and he said, I'll be like the Most High, and they'll worship me. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be, and boom. And the Lord says, and I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. God deserves the glory and the honor and praise, and there is no other that is worthy of the praise. I'm going to read a scripture from Job chapter number 38, and Job has just finished an eloquent speech on the majesty and the greatness of God that he served. When God begins to respond, he paints a word picture of what happened before the voice of song was heard from mankind. In Job 38 and 4, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God or angels shouted for joy." When they saw the works of God, the morning stars and the angels began to sing because they were in wonder at what God had done. Where is the earth fastened? How is it held in place? Where are the heavens hung from? No wonder they sing. How fascinating to think of what God hears from his creation that we do not. Waves can roar with tumult. Clouds do clap with the sound of thunder, and the leaves rustle in the breath of the wind. And I have listened in wonder as I rode on the motorcycle through southern Oregon and heard the zinging and the buzzing of the forest of the trees. I've heard the sizzling of the northern lights as they waved across the midnight sky in northern Canada. When the stars shine in their brightness, it is music to the ears of their maker, our God. It is likely the explosive sound of burning gases releasing and the light coming to be. In Isaiah 44:14 and verse 7, the writer declares, "The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us." How wonderful that even creation in the mind of God and in the prophets, they see worship. Isaiah 35 and 1, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God." Nature is responding to God's action, to what God has done. 44 and 23 of Isaiah, "Oh, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel." Yes, they're saying, shout. God is commanding all of creation to sing. The creation has the ability to bring praise unto the name of God. The Bible says day unto day and night unto night uttereth salvation. There is no language in which their voice is not heard. But is the praise brought forth through the melody of singing that attracts my attention today? Singing the heavenly songs that attract the attention of God. Early on in the history of mankind, the art of music is spoken of in Genesis 4 and 21. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such that handle the harp. The army of Israel under the king Jehoram was faced with doing battle against the army of the Moabites. And the king called for Elisha, asking him from the word of the Lord. And this is the interesting response of Elisha in 2 Kings 3. "But now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Is it any wonder that when we gather into the house of the Lord and we begin to sing the praises of God, we feel the moving of the power and the presence of God upon our heart, upon our innermost being? It doesn't just touch our physical man or our intellect, but it moves way beyond the intellect of the heart, where the will of the man is formed. And we weep tears and we sigh relief and we shout joy because we realize that God has come into the presence of the praise of his people. Amen. There came an answer from God, and through obedience, the victory was won. King Saul had been disobedient to the instructions of the Lord, and the news came to Saul through the prophet Samuel that the kingdom would be taken away from him, and God sent a troubling spirit to the one who had once enjoyed the beauty and peace of his presence, and nothing seemed to settle the restlessness of Saul. But in 1 Samuel 16 and 23 we read, "And it came to pass an evil spirit from God was upon Saul. And David took an harp and played with his hands. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and an evil spirit departed from him." Oh yes, we can sing the music of the world, and sometimes I like to listen to smooth jazz when I'm driving my motorcycle, or when I got the top down and we're just cutting the curves and carving them up on the back road, and it's a time to release and let go. But there's something different that happens when the praises of God erupt in the midst of his people. And I feel myself and the evil spirits peel away, and all the tumult and the confusion and the fear leaves at the gates of the house of the Lord, and we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, and something stirs deep inside of my soul, and no longer do I quake in fear or assume that tomorrow will be worse than yesterday, but I say, look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Music played a vital part in the worship in Jerusalem, where the ark was during the reign of King David, the man after God's own heart. Previous to this, everything that happened in the house of the Lord was in silence. Everything that happened, you could hear the clanging of the utensils that they were using. But in 1 Chronicles 25 and 1, it says, "Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jephthah, who so prophesy with harps, with psalteries, and with cymbals, and the number of the workmen according to the service was." That doesn't mean that they're foretelling the future, but they are telling the wonderful works of God through music. There's something about saying, even when I don't see him, even when I don't feel him, even when I don't hear him, I know he's working. He never stops working. And when we sing that, something erupts. Now, I realize that was written by somebody in Australia, but the Pentecostals of Alexandria has 30 million hits on that song. It just took it to the top. Why? Because you have anointed people saying, oh, yes, we feel the power and the presence and the Spirit of God, and it's life-changing when we sing those words. Verse 6 of that same chapter says, "All these were under the hands of their father for song in the house of the Lord with cymbals and psalteries and harps for service of the house of God according to the king's order, Asaph, Jephthah, and Heman." To those who diminish the importance of music and singing in our services, I would invite them to view the scene of the dedication of the temple which Solomon built unto the Lord in Jerusalem. Music played an essential and an enduring role in the temple built by Solomon. In 2 Chronicles 5 and 11, we read, "And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for the priests that were present were sanctified and did not wait by course." What happened is they all went into the holy place, and from the holy place they went into the holiest of holies. They ate the showbread. They took the knobs that lit the candlestick, and they took fire from the altar. And they burned incense before God, and it was representative of the praise of the people, and they went into the presence of God. The general population were not able to go there. They didn't know what was happening. They could only get the witness of the priests that had been there, and a whole troop went in, and when they came out, the Bible says in verse 12, the Levites were singers, all of them, Asaph and Heman and Jephthah, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries, that's saxophones and stuff like that, wind instruments and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding trumpets. And you thought it was loud here earlier this morning. I mean, the brass band had struck up, and it wasn't to try to deafen people, but they wanted everybody in the crowd, hundreds of people, no, thousands, to hear the trumpets lifting and swelling. They were trumpets of triumph, triumphal entry. They were trumpets announcing that the presence of God were there. And verse 13 says, and it came to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one and made one sound to be heard, praising and thanking the Lord. That's what we do. We don't each come in singing our own song. We don't each come in just praying our own prayer. But there's something about music that unites us together. And we begin to sing and we realize He has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a design. We're waiting on the Lord. We're not just waiting around, but we're waiting and serving Him. And the next part of the verse says, and when they lifted up their voice with trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And then the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister. There's something about lifting up praise to God and saying, oh, You've been merciful. I was addicted, but I'm free. I was addicted to anger, but You gave me Your peace. I was addicted to substances that were destroying my body, but now I have been set free because of Your mercy. Oh, and the presence of God comes in, and the eternal happens in our midst. Oh, doesn't it feel good to be in the presence of God? Thank You for giving worship and honor to the name of the Lord. Praise You, Jesus. The Lord was well pleased and is well pleased when we sing unto His name. Yet it brings greater pleasure to Him when we join as one voice to exalt Him. Oh yeah, I can sing in my own private prayer closet, driving down the street. Sometimes I sing in celebration to God when I think of what He's done. And sometimes I just sing songs that are smooth, that invite the presence of the Lord into my life. But never before had the glory of the Lord been visited upon the priesthood as a whole in such a manner. They had seen the clouds surround the mountain as Moses went up alone with the Almighty, but He was now resting upon each of them. Singing praises unto God attracted the attention of God, even when the singing was not in a congregational setting. Think of Acts chapter number 16, when Paul and Silas are locked in prison. And verse number 25 says, and they sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. There's something that happens when we worship God. You can come in bound, and you don't even know the words to the song. You can come in distracted, and can't even focus in your mind. And the church begins to sing, He brought deliverance. He set me free. He's still working on me. And something begins to snap in the bands of our mind and in the bondage of our heart. And we may not understand it, but everyone's bands are loosed. There's no reason for any of us to walk out of this place bound by fear or anger or addiction or unforgiveness or sin. We can walk from this place free. Jesus set an example of singing as part of His worship in the darkest hour of His life, after He had observed the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. The Bible says in Matthew 26 and 30, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. He says, I know I'm going to the garden to sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. I better sing and get ready. There's going to be some tough times in the future. Well, our worship here in the presence of God sets the stage for His deliverance. Even during a time of struggle and emotional trial, the heart of the Master could sing. While everything that is wonderful can be abused and twisted, it is obvious that music played an important role in worship in the past. And I'm just as convinced that singing and music should play a major role in our worship today. One of the things that Sister Yvonne and I decided, we started this church with 9 people, including 4 kids. So there were 5 adults and 4 kids. Brandon was 10, Anthony was 7, Brittany was 3, and then there was another baby that was less than a year old, and a young couple, and a kind of young couple, and a young lady. That was it. Wow. When we come into the house of the Lord, And we determined it didn't matter if we were broke or not, sick or not, if I got a sliver under my fingernail at work and it was infected or not, if I had time to shower before church or not because I worked long hours, if the bills were paid or not, if the furnace was working or not, and it didn't for 2 years, it didn't matter. We were going to come into the house of the Lord and say, "For the Lord, He is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." And I remember when I asked a young man to lead worship, he said, "I feel like a hypocrite." And I said, "Why?" He said, "I had a bad day." And I said, "Well, God didn't. He's still the same yesterday and today and forever. Our worship and praise is not about who we are. It's about who He is. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are." God has anointed some and given them the ability to lead us into the presence of the King. It's a beautiful thing when the congregation focuses together on what God has done, is doing, and is going to do while lifting our voices and singing. There is a power and a strength that is shown forth that comes no other way. You and I have a reason to sing. Song has always been a way of communicating our innermost feelings. You know, people sing their heartbreak out. "Since my baby left me, I found in there, she ran off of my truck and my dog." You know, it's just like, you know, "I lost it all." And they'll sing and they'll say, "Yeah, this is written about my girlfriend that left me. I never told her how sad she made me, but I'm going to tell the whole world." And people have found a way to express them innermost feelings in a song that they would never just come out with words, especially us tough dudes, you know? You get us a guitar and we'll pretend like we can play. But oh, when God comes into our life and changes us. The man after God's own heart, David, wrote this in Psalm 135 and 2. "Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant." One of the primary reasons we sing is because of the mercies of God. Titus writes this in 3 and 5. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for you pouring your Spirit into me. Thank you, God, when you did, a new song came into my life and into my lips. And I'm worshiping you and telling you how good you are. And all of a sudden I'm saying, "What am I speaking?" And I'm speaking a language that I don't understand. But that's the language of the heart. And God lets our heart speak to Him. Thousands of years ago in Judea, David wrote songs that spoke of the mercy of the Lord. And we still sing of that mercy today. Most of the Psalms, that's what they were. They were songs. We read them. I can't sing them because I can't understand how they sang in their Jewish lilt and tongue. But it was celebration time for them. We preached this last Tuesday night talking about considering God, and we read through Psalm chapter number 3. And if you remember, those of you that were here, we read the first verse, and it says, "To mournful music," like da 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 da. And then we read through verse number 2 and 3, and all of a sudden it gets a little lighter, and it's like, and by the end of the chapter, it says, "With wild abandon." And by that time, he realizes that God is on his side, and God has answered him, and he's going, "Woo!" Now, can't get into my, you can do it. Yeah. David gives an example of singing about the past in Psalm 107 and 8 when he says, "Oh, that men would praise Him for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men." He says, "Oh man, I wish you would just sing about what God has done." And in that chapter, I think it's 27 times in 26 or 7 verses, he talks about how good God is, that He delivered us from Egypt, for His mercy endureth forever, and through the Red Sea, for His mercy endureth forever, and He gave us manna because His mercy endureth forever. You know, they didn't get up and sing and say, "Oh God, You're so good because I'm so good." No, they didn't sing to God because of their goodness, but because of His goodness. In this psalm, David recounts the major events of deliverance. God is good. We sing songs of what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done, or He set me free, or He's delivered me, or I was in bondage or fear. What joy fills the heart of the believer when we're reminded of where He took us from, where we used to be and where we are now. Oh, God has been good. Psalm 40 in verse number 1, David said, I waited patiently, or he sang, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. It says, you know, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. That doesn't just mean be a blob in the church house. No, wait on the Lord means serve Him. To come after Him. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. When we wait on the Lord. In other words, when we give Him like what He wants, it's kind of like the waiter waiting on you. You don't tip them if they don't wait on you properly. They don't have anything on the menu that you wanted, and you're going somewhere else. Well, how about we give God what He wants? He wants the fruit of our lips, even our praise. He wants the hand clap. He wants the minstrels. He wants the music. We must never forget where we came from. He goes on to sing, He brought me up out of a horrible pit in 40 and 2, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon the rock and established my going. And reflecting upon our past estate, we can more fully appreciate the place to which we have come. Hey, we were jerks. Amen. Idiots. Boneheads. Whatever you want to call them. Idiots, my favorite word. But you know, it's like, what was I thinking? I wasn't thinking. I was just running after my flesh. But oh, Jesus delivered me. He set me free. Yes, He did. And in verse, Jesus said this about the woman that poured oil on His feet, and they were complaining about it. He says, her sins were many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. But I can tell why some of you are praising God. Been there, done that. But look what Jesus has done. I was bound, but He set me free. I was lost, but I'm found. I was addicted to anger, but now His love has filled my heart. Oh, look what Jesus has done for me. Look how He changed my life. Oh, thank you, God. No wonder we sing with reckless abandon. It's a good thing we all sing together, because some of us can't carry a tune. Song is so important. The songs of this world, no matter how talented the singers and musicians, no matter the rhythm or the rhyme, will not satisfy the hearer. Listen to Solomon in Ecclesiastes 2 and 8. Part of the verse says, I get me men singers and women singers and delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. And verse 11, part of it says, then I looked at all the works of my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. They weren't the right songs. They just didn't get it done. You know, brown-eyed blues, it's just not going to get you there. Yeah. Ain't nothing but a hound dog. It's just not going to lift your spirits. Achy, breaky heart isn't going to fix it. Yeah, I knew I'd hit some of you there. I used to work in the shop. I remember one of the guys in the shop, come on, Padre, let's sing Achy Breaky Heart. Let's get in a circle and cry together. Sad songs. But no, it's not sad songs that we sing today. It's songs of great joy and gladness. Psalm 98 and 1, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have gotten Him victory. 98 and 4, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. It's a song in the night. Job 35 tells us, our singing should bring glory to God. Psalm 96 and 1, as you stand with me, says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among the people. Just sing about how good God is. And we're going to do that again today. And it's not going to be some song you've never heard before, but it's a new song. We've shifted from the old to the new. You know, you can't help but cry when you think about losing your dog and your car and your woman and your house. Well, we won't go there. It's not about the frenzied shaking of our physical frame, but it's about the stirring of our heart within. And you know, you remember what it was like. The music stirred your spirit, and so it moved your body, and then you got involved in activities maybe that gave you a headache the next morning, or worse than that, a gut ache. You did things and you said, I did what? You videoed what? And some of you old people can thank God that you were born in the day before cell phones. Because there's some just as bad of stuff about you as it read about the new generation. And then there was regret and fear that it might make it out. But it's not that way when you come into the house of the Lord and you say, well, there's a whole lot of shaking going on, but it's Holy Ghost shaking. And he stirred my heart and my spirit, and something erupts from deep down inside. Probably one of the most beautiful songs that I've ever seen because of the words of that of the children of Israel. They've wanted deliverance, and for 400 years they've been in Egypt, and for almost 300 and some years they've been slaves, and they're in bondage, and Moses comes, and him and Aaron say, hey, God's going to set us free, but it ain't going to be easy. It's interesting how God even spoke to Moses and said, okay, this is how it's going to happen. He didn't just say, you're just going to say, be free. But Pharaoh's going to say, oh, my dead body. It's not easy getting unentangled from the world, is it? It's not easy deleting those numbers or blocking those calls. It's not easy going to a new neighborhood. It's not easy starting over without friends. That's the beautiful thing about the church of God, is that you find people that are heading in the same direction that you are, and it's a good direction. And the first three plagues, they all suffered, and then God made a demarcation line in the sand between Israel, the Hebrews, and the Egyptians. But still, there was chaos all around in the world. And the final one was the Passover, and as the Passover came, those that didn't put the blood on the doorposts and the lintels or eat the lamb or unleavened bread, he says, the firstborn's going to die in your house of cattle and of men children. And this is what's interesting, is God didn't send the death angel, so don't tell me the death angel came. The Lord said, I'll pass through the land. And if you don't have my blood, that's it. And I've kind of got a feeling there were a few rebels. It didn't put the blood up. You know, it's like you come to church and the Holy Ghost just shakes all over and somebody just goes, oh, really, preacher, you gonna make me move? It's not about me. It's about you letting God move in your life. It's not a matter of the human wills. It's about God's will and your will. But they got out. In fact, when it all went down, Pharaoh sends for Moses and says, come here. Now you take anything you want, just get out of here. And they went out with gold and jewels and precious vessels and brand new Armani suits and, you know, just like True Religion jeans, you know, just whatever. They went out with the best that the Egyptians had. And God led them to what appeared to be a dead end. I'll tell you, the last steps you take out of the world are the hardest steps to take. It's that one number you go, Got to block that one. That's my source. It's that one time of saying, can't go back to northeast, can't go back to north, can't go back to that neighborhood. You had to make those tough decisions. And it seems like, what? That's a dead end, God. And God led them right to the edge of the Red Sea, and there's mountains on both sides, and there's an impassable sea. And God looks at Moses and stretch my rod. You know what? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's the guidance of God. God says, I'm going to lead you places you've never been and you could never go by yourself. And God sneezes while he blew with the breath of his mouth all night long, or his nose all night long. You try that. Never mind, not too hard. And the wind began to blow, and it blew away in the Red Sea. And the Bible says that the sea turned to jello. And all the fish are like, no wonder Dory can't remember. You know, it's just like, and there they are. And the Israelites walk through a storm. It's tumultuous. Getting out of the world's not easy. I'm not telling you it's easy. There's a lot of junk you got to get rid of. There's stuff you got to leave behind and say, it's staying in Egypt. I'm not taking it with me. And they get to the other side and God says, turn around, Moses. Raise your rod again. And the jello melts. And God inhales. And all the waves come crashing down. But just before he does, he pulls the chariot wheels off. And their guys are skidding through the sand. So much for your super sport. And every chariot from the land of Egypt is wrecked by God. And the waves come down and crash down. And the Bible says there's dead bodies and bloated horses, chariot wheels floating around. And they get to the other side. And Exodus 15:1 says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. And spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sink into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And 18 times in 6 verses, God, the Lord, or a pronoun referring to God are used. He is the one to receive glory. And they begin to sing a new song unto the Lord. It wasn't a mournful song in captivity. It wasn't an entreaty song saying, please deliver me. But it was a joyful song that says, I'm delivered. He set me free. I am an overcomer. So it's time to worship the Lord. You can do it in the aisles. You can do it at the altar. You can do it in your seat. Let's give praise unto his name today.